You open your Bibles today to Isaiah chapter 53. We are going to, Easter's coming up. Before Easter, we're going to have the Lord's table here at the church. The Lord's table is for members. The Lord's table is called communion in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It's called the Lord's Supper. The Lord's table is called the Lord's Supper and communion, but the Lord's table is not biblical called the Last Supper. The Last Supper was a painting by Leonardo da Vinci, and so when we call it the Last Supper, we know what we mean, but it's not biblically correct. It's either the Lord's table, Lord's Supper, or communion. We're going to have the Lord's table a Tuesday evening, the 22nd of March, at 7 o'clock p.m. We're going to look this morning at Isaiah chapter 53, for the most part, we're going to look at the death of our Lord. We're going to look at the death of our Lord prophesied, the death of our Lord realized, the death of our Lord nullified, the death of our Lord satisfied, and finally, the death of our Lord memorialized. We're going to spend most of our time in Isaiah chapter 53. If you're here this morning and do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, this morning is a great morning to be in the Bible. And you, if you've not seen in the Bible what exactly Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, this is a great morning. Jesus loves you. Jesus went to the cross and died for you and shed His blood for you, that you might have eternal life. The way to eternal life is putting your faith in Jesus Christ. He did everything necessary. And we'll see in Isaiah chapter 53, everything necessary so that all men can go to heaven. But it's up to us. It's a decision. It isn't based on how good we are, whether we go to church or not. It's based upon where we put our faith. Am I trusting Jesus Christ as Savior? Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and who and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The arm here speaks of authority. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness. No form has to do with a favored appearance. When we think of a favored appearance, we think of me. No. That's what I told the teens. I says, you know, Lori couldn't help it that she married a trophy husband, you know. Boy, they didn't. If you want to know brutal honesty, you just being a bunch of friend of teens. So, no. Root out of dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness. In other words, Jesus Christ as a human being on this earth, he did not have a face. He was not necessarily handsome, nor comeliness. This has to do with magnificent. We see people, especially in egotistical world today, whether it be movie stars or athletes or even people on Facebook, look at me, yeah, look how great I am, and they're magnificent in their own eyes. And Jesus was not magnificent. There's no form, form nor comeliness. He was not magnificent. And when we see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. And that, back to His appearance, there's no physical reason why we would go to Jesus and desire Him. He is despised and rejected of men, verse 3, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. In other words, they had no regard for Him. They didn't hold Him at any. They didn't esteem Him in any way. But He was wounded for our surely, verse 4, He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him. In other words, they didn't esteem Him as a great guy, but they realized that He was stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded. He suffered a horrible terrible death. He was wounded for our transgressions. Transgressions is going beyond the law, going beyond the boundaries that God has set for mankind. He was bruised for our iniquities. Iniquities is how twisted we are. How we can convolute what's right and what's wrong, and it just comes natural. Because we're sinners. He is wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. In other words, because of his chastisement, because of his cruel death, because of the torture he encountered, he procured our peace with God Almighty. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. In other words, he was driven low and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. I complain about a toothache. Jesus Christ was brutally beaten, nailed to a tree, and didn't complain. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? In other words, they weren't interested in what Jesus, the potential of the life of a man, could have been after they crucified him. For he was cut off out of the land of Israel, the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked. He was crucified between two thieves. And with the rich in his death, he went to the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. The seed of Jesus Christ is those who are born again. Born again believers, the children of Abraham through faith in Jesus Christ. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days. Why shouldn't he prolong his days? Because Jesus Christ lives. Jesus Christ has eternal life. I am the resurrection and the life, he says in John chapter 11. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Verse 11, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. The Lord shall be satisfied by his knowledge of the work of Jesus Christ, the finished work of his Son on the cross. And shall be satisfied by his knowledge, shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Just like every one of us here this morning. Every one of us have gone beyond the boundaries of morality, the boundaries of the law of a most holy God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we ask you, Lord, to forgive us of our sins. I pray for those who may not know Christ as Savior, that today they see what's written, realize that you're a God that cannot lie, and that you love them with a love that no one else has. We pray, Lord, as a people of God here at Liberty Baptist Church, that we realize what you've done for us, that we be grateful, that we not neglect the work that you'd have us to do. We thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for our sins. In the name of Jesus, amen. Did that wake you up, Sedona? First of all, the death of our Lord prophesied. We went through Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, really, the synopsis of Isaiah chapter 53, Jesus told his disciples, Luke chapter 9, 22, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders, chief priests and scribes, and be slain, and raised the third day." The death of our Lord Jesus Christ was prophesied throughout the Old Testament. There are many types of Christ in the Old Testament. The Passover lamb, the male of the first year, slain. So that when the Lord, the death angel, saw the blood, he would pass over the people. We see throughout the Old Testament sacrifices, the annual Day of Atonement, where an innocent animal would die for the guilty. All through the Old Testament point to the work of Jesus Christ. And then we see Jesus Christ himself prophesy his death. Not only do we see the death of our Lord prophesied in the Bible in Isaiah chapter 53, but we see the death of our Lord realized. Realized here means to understand clearly, to make a reality. In order to have eternal life, we must make Jesus Christ a reality in our lives. He tells the Jews, he says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." If you're here this morning, and maybe you are a member of Liberty Baptist Church, and maybe you know your Bible, and you know what the Bible says about Jesus Christ, knowing your Bible will not get us to heaven. Amen. Jesus says, "Search the Scriptures once again, for in them ye think ye have eternal life." It is not about knowing Scripture. Now we go to Scripture and we learn Scripture so we can have a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. We go to Scripture so we can see how to have eternal life, how to get what the Bible says saved. But knowing Scripture will not get us to heaven. It's knowing Jesus Christ. It's trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. He who hath a Son hath eternal life. It's having the Son. It's making Him a reality in our lives. Realizing I am a sinner. Unworthy. Undone. And there's no way to heaven. And there's no name under heaven whereby which I must be saved. And then I go to Jesus. That's realization. That's making Jesus real in our lives. We see in Isaiah chapter 53, the death of our Lord realized. Verse 1. "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" First of all, who hath revealed? Who hath believed our report? Do you believe? Do you believe the report? Written in the Bible. Written in Scripture. Inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. Do you believe? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Arm here has to do with power. For the preaching of the cross, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." We've witnessed miracle last week with Faith Promise. We witness miracles day after day after day if we just look for them. Do we believe, number one, and do we believe that God has the power? Oh my goodness. If our faith could just grow and grow and grow enough so that we wouldn't be thwarted with the problems we have in our life, and we look to the one who has the power. The death of the Lord realized in verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 53. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, but by his, and with his stripes we are healed." Are we healed this morning? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his body. This is not about a physical healing. There are many preachers on TV, when they talk about by ye stripes you are healed, they say, you give your money, and by his stripes you will be healed. Amen, brother. God bless. Amen. And people send their money and they're waiting for a physical healing. We can have the most healthy body in the world. We can exercise daily, take a Geritol every day, and die and go to hell. It has nothing to do with physical healing. It has everything to do with the spiritual healing of eternal life with our Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever of eternal bliss, where there's no sickness, no sorrow, no death, no pain. By his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53 verse 12. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many. Uh-oh. Is that a contradiction? Look at verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. The whole world. Sins were laid upon Jesus. That's why God turned his head away from Jesus. He cannot look at iniquity. His eyes can't. His eyes are pure. And Jesus Christ shouted out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because God can't look at the iniquity of the world. And the iniquity of all was laid upon Jesus Christ. Yet, in verse 12, it says, he bare the sin of many. The word many there is predicated upon faith in Jesus Christ. He died for all. He loves every person in the world that has ever existed. Jesus Christ died for each and every one. But the sins that will be forgiven is based upon faith in Jesus Christ. It's not based upon going to church. It's not based upon being the best we can be. It's based upon faith in Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, realize God loves you. And you're in a Bible preaching church, and the Bible declares there is a hell. There is a heaven. The Bible declares that there is a judgment. There's a wrath of God. And a lot of times we don't want to hear that. It makes us uncomfortable. The guy behind the pulpit sounds hateful. But that's why Jesus Christ came to die. Because the wrath of God was unleashed upon the body of Jesus Christ for our sake. If you're here, you do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, realize this: God loves you. And Jesus Christ died for you. And whosoever believeth in him shall have eternal life. And I beg you, if you do not believe that Jesus Christ is Savior, you can believe today. If you do not know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, you can know today. The Bible says these things are written that you may know you have eternal life. That believe on the name of the Son of God. We've seen the death of our Lord prophesied. We've seen the death of our Lord realized. The death of our Lord nullified. In other words, to be made of none effect. Look at Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. We esteemed him not. The death of our Lord is nullified, first of all, by rejection. You, the each and every one of us this morning, has a choice to make. Am I going to accept what the Bible says? Am I going to accept Jesus Christ for who he is and what he did on the cross? Or am I going to reject him? There's only two ways. There's no middle ground. If we do not accept Jesus Christ, we are rejecting him. Luke chapter 9, verse 22, once again saying, the Son of Man. Jesus tells his disciples, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain and raised the third day. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Please don't reject Jesus Christ and make the death of our Lord null and void. How else can the death of our Lord be nullified? By works. The Bible says, for by grace you save through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It's freely given, not of works, lest any man should boast. Here's a mathematical equation in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Grace plus faith equals salvation. There's no way around it. But yet we often hear, and some of us often thought and often said, well, I'm doing the best that I can. I'm being the best that I can be, so I think God will. I said this. I think I'll be in heaven because I'm doing the best I can. I got more good than bad. I never murdered anybody. How can we nullify the death of our Lord? If we're depending upon baptism to get us into heaven, if we're depending upon church membership, if we're depending upon ourselves and our good works, if we're listening to false teaching, reading books that tell us it's okay. I know pamphlets that say the more sick you are, the closer you are to God, and you'll be in heaven. It's wrong. That nullifies the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way to realize and make real the death of our Lord Jesus Christ is putting faith in Him and His finished work on the cross. And if by grace, Romans chapter 11, then it is of no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. If we're depending upon works to get us to heaven, there's no more grace. And the equation doesn't fit. Grace plus faith equals salvation. How else can the death of our Lord be nullified besides rejection and by works? Number three, neglect. When I was a kid, I was a junior in high school, I wired this whole vacuum truck for a guy. He drives up after I got all wired. I got the lights wired, I got the little blinker wired and that, and everything's going good, and then the boss, he drives up, hey, how you making out? I'm pretty good, you know, I think I got it going here. And got the motor wired to lift up the head of the vacuum and that, and so we're talking like that. He looks over, his wife is driving down the driveway. And what does he do? What does my boss do? He thinks really fast, he takes the pliers out of my hand. I'm thinking, I'm just a dumb kid. Takes the pliers out of my hand, stands there. His wife drives up. She says, how are things going? He says, great, I think I got it. How else can the death of our Lord be nullified? Neglect, because we don't give credit where credit is due. My boss never gave me credit. But look how neglectful we can be. We can have a great life. We can have the peace that passes all understanding. We have joy. We have blessings. But we neglect to tell others about how good and how great our God is. About how good and how great our God was. And about how good and how great He will continue to be. And if we neglect to tell others, we have nullified the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to give credit where credit is due. Why have we neglected? Why do we neglect? Why will we neglect to tell others? Maybe it's because I don't have a good testimony. Maybe it's because I know others will laugh at me and not take me seriously because I've got a very poor testimony. Because I'm not living a holy and consecrated life like I know I should. So rather than living a holy and consecrated life, I'll just choose not to tell others. What is another reason for being neglectful about telling others? Do I really care about others? Where's my concern meter when it comes to others? Am I that selfish that I will not give credit where credit is due? Am I that selfish that I'll be just like Marvin and take the pliers out and not give Jesus Christ credit? Maybe I'm neglectful to tell others and nullify the death of our Lord because I lack courage. I don't want to be embarrassed. Well, there's always tracts. You can always give a tract out or put a tract on top of the toilet paper holder in the bathroom. I'm serious. That doesn't take any courage. That just takes effort. Maybe one reason we neglect to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ is I lack Bible knowledge. The Bible says to study to show thyself approved, a man unto God, thoroughly furnished. Maybe we should read more. Maybe we should come to church more. Maybe we should come to church an hour earlier and come to Sunday school or Sunday night or Wednesday. But there's got to be a reason. There's got to be a reason why I neglect to tell others about Jesus Christ and nullify the death of my Lord and Savior. Maybe I'm ashamed. Maybe I'm ashamed of my Lord and what He did for me on the cross. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Maybe one of the reasons I nullify the death of my Lord and Savior, or the death of the Lord and Savior, and neglect to tell others is maybe I'm not saved. Maybe I've come to church, maybe I've been baptized even and become a member of a church. But I don't have a burden for others. I really don't care if other people get saved. We really have to question our salvation. If I care more about my weekends, if I care more about my evenings, if I care more about me, and not others, then I have to ask myself, am I really saved? What makes other people serve God? Well, they got more time. No, we all have the same time. But I have to ask myself, am I really saved? Why are other people doing this and doing that? Why are other people faithful givers? Why do other people give to Faith Promise and I don't do anything? Maybe I'm not saved. Why do other people weep? When it comes to praying for other people to get saved, and it doesn't bother me in the least, well, they're a bunch of babies. Why is not my heart tender toward others and their eternal life? Maybe I'm not saved. Oh, but I go to church. No, there's got to be a reason why we neglect and to tell others and nullify the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If I don't give God credit for what He's done for me, it is nothing but neglect. And if I neglect to tell others, it's a sin. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 17, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." If we neglect to tell others about the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it is a sin, and we need to ask God for forgiveness and get it right and repent of that sin and start telling others about Jesus Christ. If it doesn't bother us in the least, then maybe we have to question our salvation and say, God, am I really saved? Do I have that sense of urgency within myself? Do I have a burden for others and their eternal life? Spending an eternity in hell. Oh my goodness, that's got to do something. Moving on. When us kids were little, we'd day wasn't complete without fighting. And Dad says, one more time you guys get in a fist fight, you're going to pay. Sure enough, we got in a fist fight. Sure enough, we paid. And he'd have us dig a trench. We were always digging trenches to get water. We had more trenches at our place than you shake a stick at. And so he'd say, from this tree to that rock, you're digging a trench. And then he'd go and he'd step it off, pace it off, and mark it off in thirds. And when you get your third done, you were more or less done. But you weren't really, because you couldn't leave until everybody had their third done. So we had to dig trenches because we got in a fight. And then we got in a fight over what tool we got to use. But my dad said, you're not done until I'm satisfied. Period. It didn't matter how deep we thought it needed to be, how wide, how cleaned out, how many rocks were in it. It mattered if my dad was satisfied. And here we see in Isaiah chapter 53, the death of our Lord satisfied. Verse 10 of Isaiah chapter 53. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And he shall see the travail, or the distress of his soul. God seeing the distress of Jesus' soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. The knowledge of what his son Jesus Christ did on the cross, the finished work on the cross, and God will be satisfied. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Much more then, being now justified by his blood. God satisfied with the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross on our behalf. Much more now, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved or delivered from wrath through him. The death of our Lord satisfied. And finally, if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Why many? Because of faith. For the remission or the pardoning of sins. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The death of our Lord memorialized. We see the Lord having the first Lord's table with his disciples in Matthew. And now Paul's going to speak concerning this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. It's the new contract. It's a contract based on grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often, verse 26, as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. We exhibit the Lord's death till he come. What is the reason for the death of our Lord? It's memorialized. In other words, to remember. Verse 24 and 25 says, in remembrance of me. It has nothing to do with a mystical body of Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with some kind of hocus pocus, a physical presence of Jesus Christ. This is to remember the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, of his broken body and the blood that he shed for us on the cross, that we might have repentance of sin when we put our faith in him. It has to do with to remember and to show or exhibit. The bread represents his broken body on the tree, the body that was bruised, the body that was crushed, the bodies whose by stripes we are healed. When we exhibit the wine, the cup here, the shed blood of Jesus Christ that was poured out on our behalf, the precious blood of Jesus Christ of the New Testament, the New Contract. In my blood, verse 26, for as often as you drink, eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. We'll examine ourselves during the Lord's table. But we're showing the New Testament. Look at verse 25. After the manner in which he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. In my blood. When I was a kid, that's when the hood ornaments really first came out. Remember when hood ornaments really came out? You go to a friend's house and he had 30 of them on there. How'd you get so many hood ornaments? You didn't buy 30 cars. No, at Hell and High, they were ripping them off of cars at the mall. What's the mall called up there? Capitol Hill Mall. They're ripping off cars, signifying the vehicle that they took the emblem off of. The blood of Jesus Christ signifies, it's a sign, it shows the New Testament that God has with his children. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, Hebrews chapter 9. There's no forgiveness without the blood. There's no forgiveness without the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. And have made peace through the blood of the cross, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. We do it once a year. We're going to do it Tuesday. It says to do it as oft as you do it. It's once. We do it once a year. 3 days and three nights before Easter, because Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. And the duration, till he come. The church is to memorialize the death of our Lord till he come. Acts chapter 1 verse 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, the angel says, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven after Jesus was taken up? This same Jesus in bodily form, in the new and glorified body, this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. This same Jesus is coming again. He is coming again in fulfillment of the scriptures. And when they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory, the Bible says. For 2 Thessalonians, and you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Yea, all the kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord, Revelation chapter 11. And of his Christ he shall reign forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. Hallelujah. For our God, the omnipotent, all-powerful, reigneth. We've seen the death of our Lord prophesied. We're going to have a quick invitation afterward. We've seen the death of our Lord realized. We've seen the death of our Lord nullified by rejection, by works, by neglect. We've seen the death of our Lord satisfied. We've seen the death of our Lord memorialized by the Lord's table. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? Do you believe today? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died and was buried for 3 days and three nights and rose again in fulfillment of the Scriptures for your sin? Do you know Christ as Savior? What about those of us who know Christ as Savior? Do we believe? Are we confident enough? Are we grateful enough not to neglect the death of our Lord Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. I pray that you bless the invitation. Lord, at this time, I ask you to work on our hearts and forgive us, Lord. Please forgive us for neglecting what you'd have us to do. Please give Liberty Baptist Church a burden for the lost. Lord, I pray if there's someone here who does not know you as Savior, that this morning they come. Be shown in the Bible how they can know they have eternal life. Oh, Lord, we thank you so much for saving our souls. We thank you so much for going to the cross, for not opening your mouth, for taking our punishment upon you, for shedding your blood for us, Lord. For having your body bruised, dying an agonizing, excruciating death on our behalf. This morning, Lord, we say thank you. Amen. 383 this morning, page 383. This morning and ask the Lord to help us not to neglect the job He's given us to do, to give us the strength, to give us the courage, to give us the broken heart and concern we need for the lost. Won't you come this morning? Thank everyone for being here this morning. We got a great message this evening about commandments to the believer. And just want to thank everyone for being here. We're looking forward to a great Easter season. Steve Schultz, would you please close us in prayer, please?